Hello, and welcome to Kingdom Connection with Jensen Franklin. In this weekly podcast, we hope that you have an encounter with God through inspired teaching and discover practical ways to help you live a life of purpose. If you enjoy the teaching ministry of Jensen Franklin and would like to enjoy more resources, devotionals, including our weekly updates, we hope you'll visit our website at jensenfranklin.org.
Hey everyone, thanks for joining us on today's podcast, on our Kingdom Connection podcast. This is Blake Hammond, and joining me today is Doug Spada. Doug is a decorated Navy veteran who has received commendations, including the Admiral's Citation and the Navy Achievement Medal. He served during the Cold War on board nuclear submarines. He studied and was also an instructor at the Navy's top secret nuclear training facility before deployed on many missions in the North Pacific, and has now spent the last 17 years developing work life, which is what he is here to talk about today. Doug, thank you for joining us.
Yeah,
thank you. Great to have you here.
Yeah, it's nice to be here. And I'm looking forward to talking about this subject matter that's so, so critical to people's daily life.
Absolutely. So tell us about work life. How did you get started in this area of ministry?
Well, it kind of started from a lot of pain. So I was trying to work. I transitioned from the military, started a company, and it was in the middle of that work experience that I started to realize, wow, what does God actually have to do with my work, and how do I actually transition from this Sunday to Monday? So it was in the context of that work experience. I had about a year and a half where I lost my family because of some of that, and so that pain kind of drives you to kind of try to figure out, hey, how do I integrate my life and my work life and actually with my faith life? So it was during that time that I kind of realized that I was practicing a Sunday faith. And then I had this almost like this practical atheism that was going on Monday. So that's where sort of some of the subject matter that we're going to talk about came from.
Okay, so tell us about the movement of work life.
Well, work life is really a movement of people assuming their biblical and called position in the marketplace, because most people are not called to work in the church, right? A majority of them are actually in the marketplace. So, and it's actually sort of a call to action for Christians of every vocation, you know, to switch God on, to keep God, to amplify the presence of God on Monday. Now, why do I say Monday? Because we typically think about amplifying the presence of God on Sunday, right? During worship and things like that. So when we go to the hospital, or when we go to the car dealership, or wherever it is that God has actually called us to influence people and to work and to use the skills, we are called to amplify the presence of God. So there's a movement, Blake, that's going on across the world. And but the enemy's trying to keep it suppressed. He wants everybody to think that it's all about Sunday in church, when really it's about all of us dispersed. It's about the church dispersed, not just the church gathered.
Right. So you just use that term, switch on. Switch God on. What do you mean by that?
Well, that's what I noticed in myself. I would have an amazing Sunday experience. I would experience God. I would just sense the Holy Spirit moving. And then it was just a very strange situation. I would go to work on Monday, and I would be fired up for a while. Or actually, sometimes the truth is, even on Sunday night, I started to sort of whine and complain and have that dread of Monday.
Right.
And, you know, research has shown that productivity on Monday for the American worker is less than 30%.
Wow.
There's more heart attacks on Monday, Blake, than any other day of the week. And there's also more suicides on Monday. So this transition from Sunday to Monday is actually so critical in the body of Christ for students and for workers across the earth. So the switch on really came from when I actually went to work. I started to notice that I would have trouble staying in the presence of God, keeping him frontal, you know, keeping him on top of mind, right? And then even when I was making decisions and things like that, you know, it started to wane off. And that's where we did research for about 8 years. We have about 300,000 data points on what Christians actually struggle with at work. Mm. And so now we have a way to actually help people find their top three propensities for switching God off on Monday.
So those three propensities, what would you say those three propensities are?
Well, we've documented 30. So we've put those into a little diagnostic test called a switch quiz. And so when you take that, it's really, a fancy biblical term for it is the theology of work. It's actually taking an x-ray of a person's theology of work in skill, influence, relationship, what's our biblical understanding of work, things like that. And it either because of our own sin propensity, or sometimes it's our environment that causes us to switch God off at work, right? Sometimes the world is kind of saying, you can't. You have to be neutral. You have to be an effectual atheist to actually work here, right?
Right.
There's many work environments like that. And sometimes it's just the people are around too. I mean, sometimes it's hard. So there's a lot of different things that cause us to switch off. So we put this diagnostic together to help people actually find those.
Right. So you had just mentioned that a lot of people, including yourself, I think that's safe to say that everybody deals with this, but you had mentioned you had trouble staying in the presence of God, mm-hmm. transitioning from that Sunday morning experience into Monday.
Yes.
How would you help somebody navigate that particular situation of staying in the presence of God into Monday?
One of the things that God started to show me when I was struggling and I had the pain and losing my family and stuff, and then I would look back to the church trying to figure out, hey, what's happening here? How does this that I'm experiencing on Sunday extend over into Monday? And I didn't get a lot of great answers. I kept looking around, and you know, the most I could figure out was that there was a whole bunch of other people that were as miserable as I was on Sunday. Because now here's what God led me to. He led me to what I kind of call the biblical secrets of work, okay? And one of the biblical secrets is what you just touched on. You were asking me about how would they stay switched on and transition. Well, one of the things you have to realize, you have to understand what the Bible says about work.
Right.
Okay. People think the Bible's neutral about work. Some people think that it only deals with spiritual, quote, spiritual things. Like if you and I were working on a mission, or we went to Haiti on a missions trip, or we're doing something at church, nothing could be further from the truth. You know, if you really think about where Jesus spent the first 30 years of his life, he was working.
Right.
Now, why would our Heavenly Father have Jesus work? He was the Son of God. I mean, it makes no sense if you really use your human brain. It's
right.
Like, why? You'll soon find out that, Jesus was working. He was obeying and worshiping his Father, just like God calls us to do through our work, okay? And at the appointed time, and it says in the Bible that he grew in stature and wisdom. So God was growing him, even though he was sinless and stuff. And I often think about this, Blake, you know, what happened in that workshop when Jesus maybe smashed his thumb with the hammer? Or did he ever do that? And what came out of his mouth? But here's a really interesting, deep question. Was our Heavenly Father any more pleased with his son Jesus when he was obeying him, working with the wood in the workshop, or when he was carrying that same wood to Calvary?
Mm.
That's a deep question. Mm. I mean, in my mind,
that's,
it was both.
True.
He was obeying his Heavenly Father, right?
Right.
And there's a famous person called St. Francis of Assisi. You've probably heard different quotes and stuff.
Right.
And I remember a story one time of St. Francis. He was out in the garden working, you know, or out in the fields, and he had one of his proteges that was with him, right? And so they were digging rows and you know, making sure everything was great for planting. And his protege thought that he would actually surprise this spiritual genius, you know, St. Francis of Assisi, with this question. And he says, St. Francis, if Jesus would come back in 30 minutes, what would you do right now?
Hmm.
And so St. Francis kind of got up and he shook off the dirt from his knees and he kind of bent over and he looked down the next row, and then he kind of stood back up and he looked at his protege and he says, well, I think we would get done with this row and we would probably get all the way down the next.
Wow.
He was staying focused on the work that God had given him. And that work wasn't just praying in the monastery. They were making rows in the field. Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
But anyway, Jesus spent these 30 hours, and you think about the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul, what did he do? He was a tent maker, right?
Right.
And I remember in Acts 17, he was on his second missionary journey, and he had left the city of Berea. He just got stoned, okay? Mm. And he came into the city of Athens, and it said that he saw that the city was given over to idols. Just like in today's culture, you can go in our cities, into our schools, into
right.
our workplaces,
right.
idols everywhere.
Right.
The whole world is saying, worship this.
Mm.
And so it says in Acts, the 17th chapter, it says that Paul was moved by this. And we saw the city was given over to idols. And it says, so he took action. He went to the synagogues with the Jews and the Gentile worshipers. And it says in there in Acts, in the 16th verse, it says, and in the marketplace daily. Paul knew that that's where it happened. That's where we meet people. That's where we rub shoulders. So if you're in medicine, or you may be in business, or you may be in some other field, education, listen, those people are speaking the indigenous language. Like my wife works at Children's Hospital in Atlanta, okay? She speaks the language of medicine. I don't even understand what she's saying. But if I start talking business, she says, talk to the hand.
Right.
She doesn't like that. So she's at a certain place. She can reach people, Blake, that you and I, we don't even have access to. So the only way we're going to reach culture and back to this whole movement that's going across the earth, we have to understand that God has called us to work, and work is a holy calling. And we'll talk a little bit more about that in a
Absolutely.
Minute.
Absolutely. So in that process, though, someone listening to this, Doug, somebody saying, okay, I'm understanding the need to take what I've experienced on a Sunday, understanding that my workplace, my environment, Monday through Saturday, is my mission field, so to speak. How can we unpack that? How, understanding that there is a need for it, but if somebody's looking at this and saying, I understand the need, but how do I do it? What do I say? How do I unpack that?
I think three things, if I could just kind of say it this way, is that one, I would say Bible. Understand what the Bible says about work and believe it. Okay? That's, we touched a little bit about that. We can go a little deeper in that, because if you don't have that foundation, Blake, you can try your heart out like I did. I mean, I love God. See, we coined this term Monday morning atheist. So I don't want the audience to get caught up on that word atheist, okay?
Right.
Because a lot of times as followers of Christ, we see that and go, well, that's not me. Well, hold on for a second, because I think the Holy Spirit's going to kind of knock on all of our doors here in a minute. So I kind of coined that Sunday relationship and that Monday behavior as kind of Monday morning atheist. Now, here's the formal definition of a Monday morning atheist. Someone who loves God, but yet works like he doesn't exist.
Mm.
We all know what that feels like.
Absolutely.
And I described that like, hey, where are you, God? And so we can talk a little bit about what we found in our research. But to your point about, hey, what does somebody do? I would say Bible. Believe it and believe what, because if you don't have that foundation of work and some of the things we'll talk about, you know, as far as what God originally meant when he put the man in the garden in Genesis 2:15 to work the garden. That word work back in the Genesis is absolutely critical, okay? So the other thing is, I would say, practice it. You have to practice this. You have to have disciplines and practice, and then you have to work on skill, for example. So you have to be, you know, you're not going to be a bad accountant and think that you're going to spread the gospel in your accounting firm. It's just not going to happen. So
yeah.
Christians that think that they're just a Christian and then they can go and kind of be the low person on the totem pole with regard to excellence.
Right.
And decision-making and all that, you might as well forget it.
Absolutely.
You need to go back to the well. You need to hone your skill so that you can, people can look at you and say, what is different about you? What, you know, there's something different. But a lot of times our skill and our execution of that actually opens that door. Now, it's bringing to mind something that is really important for the audience to think about here, Blake. And that is the purpose of work, okay? So a lot of times we at church, we sort of espouse to people that work, we would think about work and we'd think about evangelism, that it's a platform to go do evangelism. Now, is it? Yes, it is. It happens to be. But that almost kind of disrespect God and his purpose for work when we just look at work as just a platform for evangelism, okay? So, for example, I gave you that little story about St. Francis of Assisi. Were they doing evangelism in the field? No. So here's the thing. Work itself is a holy calling before God. So when you're by yourself, see, God sees everything, right? So when you're by yourself exercising the skill and the calling that God's called you, you're bringing a smile to God's face. So work isn't just it's not just a atmosphere or a platform to actually go get them or to go do evangelism, but your work will open up we'll open up doors for that. Okay. I'm thinking about a story right now, Blake, of we had our 21 day fast, right?
Right.
At Free Chapel. So I was getting a juice at a Smoothie King here in the region. And I remember this lady that I said, hey, I need this, da da da. And somehow the conversation came up about fasting. And she goes, oh, I go to fast. Come to find out, she goes right here to Free Chapel. Okay.
How about that?
Okay. So, but here's what was interesting. Okay. She had an incredible story. I won't share that with you right now, but she found the Lord at Free Chapel in a miraculous way about 3 years ago. Okay. She's the manager of a Smoothie King. But when we talked one layer deeper, she did not understand why God called her to be a manager of a Smoothie King. So her and I spent just a little bit of, you know, I was going in there each day getting my juice and stuff like that. And we just spent a little bit of time unpacking some of the things you and I are talking about. And she started, the light bulb started to come off. The switch was going on. And she's like, oh my goodness. And I said, yes. I said, this is a Kingdom Depot. Do you know how many people came through that Smoothie King in a month? About 6,000 people.
Wow. Wow.
So then we got very practical, like what you were asking just a minute ago. We started working on what is it that she can do in her environment to amplify. Remember, we talked about the movement to amplify the presence of God on Monday.
Yeah.
So I said, hey, Jill, you're making these smoothies and these blenders. I said, why don't you pray over every single smoothie and then pray over every person? She started doing that. And then I went in the next week. She's like, Doug, miracles are starting to happen.
That's
customers
incredible.
Were coming back in. Now, Blake, I want to ask you that. That was one person from the church, okay? Can you imagine if thousands of people started doing that in their schools, in their marketplace, in their business, wherever it is, Colossians 3:23, whatever you do, do it enthusiastically as unto the Lord, right? Not unto man. Now, here's a big question for us, Blake. What part of whatever is outside of God's domain? Nothing. It's whatever, right? So you think about that manager at Smoothie King and just translate that into your work environment, whether you are the boss or you're the leader, or whether you're a manager or whether you are in some other position there, God's called you for a unique, and I can tell you miracle after miracle that have happened where people that would never have come into the church ever, ever. And God's put us out there. That's why I was telling you before that Satan is trying to rob this from the body of Christ. Because this is a very common sense thing. If followers of Christ spend over 60% of their life where? At work. So if the enemy can steal their understanding of biblical work and then distort it, get them depressed, dread, all this other stuff, and basically take them out of commission. So then they're useful for a Sunday worshiper, but then they switch off on Monday and basically try to just survive the week, maybe make it back on Wednesday, maybe on Sunday to get another juiced up and then go. We don't have any impact because they don't ever start transforming their environment and the people that are around them. So if he can do that, he basically is robbing the people. So this is one of the most amazing missional strategies that God has already put in place, except we get a little too religious thinking that everything's happening on Sunday when really it's almost the difference between the gospel of the kingdom and the gospel of salvation. Salvation would be like, hey, boo, I gave my life for Christ, switch off, and I have no impact. When the gospel of the kingdom is like, no, God's called you. You're carrying the kingdom of God into the marketplace, into where God has called you to be. So,
absolutely. The thing that you've been hitting on is work, you know, and I love the point that you made as far as someone who's an accountant. You can't go in and have a lackadaisical mentality, go in and putting in half the effort and expect to have an impact in your workplace. Jesus worked, David worked, his disciples worked. You even mentioned that, you know, God put Adam in the garden to work. So why do you feel like Christians seem to have a hard time with work?
I think it's the misunderstanding of why work was created in the first place. Now, this is the big, big deal. This is, I'm telling you, the enemy is having a heyday with this. And here's what it is. It's about the creation order. You go back to the very, very beginning in Genesis, okay? So God created everything. He created the trees and everything. And then it says that he created man and he placed him in the garden. Now, here's the interesting thing. God did all the work Adam just had to receive it. So see, that speaks to us too. Like, we don't have to strive. See, a lot of us are out there striving, you know, right. paycheck, strive. We're really in the business of, with our daddy, receiving. So we got to think about work in a little different way. We're receiving, not striving. Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
Now let me go back to the garden. So in Genesis 2:15, it says that God put Adam in the garden to work it and to tend it. Now that word work in Genesis is an amazing thing. So if you go back to the Hebrew and you look it up in the Hebrew dictionary, it's a word called avodah, A-V-O-D-A-H. Now, here's the real mind bender, okay? That word work in the Hebrew in Genesis was the very same word that God used for worship throughout the whole Old Testament. So In Exodus, when he told Moses, hey, bring these people and you will worship me on the mountain, that's the word avodah. As for in Joshua, As for me and my family, we will serve the Lord. Same word, avodah. It means serve, work, worship. Wow. So here's the thing, like this is the real, work is actually worship to God. So Think about the most amazing worship service you've been in. I'm telling you, Holy Spirit, you're feeling the goosebumps and you can feel it. That's how God feels, man, when you are actually executing, or like Adam was working in a perfect environment. Now here's the big stumbling block. Most followers of Christ think that God got ticked off at Adam and Eve when they sinned, and he created work to punish them. Wrong. People have to get their mind around this, because if they believe that, they believe that their heavenly father is a bad God and he's there and work is just a punishment. So we got to put up with it and hopefully get back to church so we can do the spiritual stuff, right?
Wow.
That's not it. Look at the creation order. Work was created before the fall. Now, here's another thing. In John 5:17, Jesus says, my Father is working until now, and I am working. So the real truth is that God is a worker. He obviously is a creator, worker, okay? And what does it say in Genesis? He created man in his what? His
image.
So God's a worker. He created man in his image. He put Adam in the garden before sin. Now, it is true that once sin entered the earth, or, you know, the world, that work became harder, but it was the ground that God cursed, not work.
Wow.
See that, that these are the biblical secrets, right? That the enemy doesn't want us to know and cause us to continue in this strive and grind. And like work is just about money and we got to go try to grab it and get it. No, we receive. We're children, man. We're blessed. You know what I mean? We're the head. We're
so
not the
good.
Tail. Now here's the other thing the enemy robs us about. God wants us to be blessed, correct?
Absolutely.
He wants us to receive. He wants us to actually prosper, okay? Now, if you have that biblical misunderstanding that you and I just talked about, and you think that work is cursed and God's just put the slam down on you, right? Because, you know, that's just the way it is.
Yeah.
Where has God called people to receive blessing for their family and for the kingdom primarily? Through work. So if that understanding of work is distorted, what can we not receive most of the time? So see, that's why the enemy is working overtime. He's okay with us doing great church. He's almost like, hey, congratulations, Blake. Man, there's 50 people that got saved. Wow, that was awesome. Now just send them to me on Monday. Do you see why it's so critical? It's
Absolutely.
So critical that we as a church also communicate this. We help people understand they're called by God, because it has a lot to do with us in revival on this earth and kind of what God's up to in his ultimate plan on earth.
I love how you said that work is a form of worship. And that point that you just made, that God cursed the ground, not the work. And I think that's such a key component right there, because too many people... That's why I believe there's a TGIF, thank God it's Friday, because people are so looking forward to get out of work.
Yes.
But, you know, kind of like what Paul says in Romans 12, you know, don't conform any longer to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, where it's simply a change in perspective, not a change in situation.
That's right.
To where people can now come into this environment where this work, it is not a burden. It is a blessing from God.
That's right.
It is a blessing from God. So, let me ask you this, Doug. What are some of the results if somebody's stepping into, you know, a brand new Monday, or even, you know, today, if it's their first time listening to it, or whatever, you know, day they're listening to it, what type of results do you feel like someone can see in their life just by ultimately switching on the light, as you said, changing that way that they think or see?
Well, you mentioned TGIF, right? That's the majority of people in the body of Christ say, hey, thank God it's Friday. They're actually thinking, hey, God, get me out of this misery so that I can go do something more meaningful or spiritual kind of thing, right?
Absolutely.
So we need to change that thinking, TGIF to TGIM. Thank God it's Monday, okay?
That's good.
All right, now, some of the results, things that they can experience. Well, I think, not that it can be promised, but like we just said, if you change perspective and you understand that you're there to receive from God, I think you can actually expect blessing, financial blessing, relational blessing, fruit.
Absolutely.
Actually fruit, right? So I think this has a lot to do with why believers, followers of Christ, don't see fruit. Because the place where they're primarily called to produce fruit has been disabled. Does that make sense?
Wow, absolutely.
So the second thing I think they can expect is this. I think you can expect your atmosphere to change.
That's good.
The atmosphere of work. So that means, you know, your people, your attitudes, the way you do work. That doesn't mean you're not going to have problems. Doesn't mean you're not going to face things. But the way you approach those and the things you, the way you move through those can change. So I think it can actually change the atmosphere of your work.
Absolutely. And Doug, we're almost out of time here. But in closing this conversation today, what would be some of your final words of encouragement for someone that is... he has been battling that mindset where their work has become a drudge. They don't like the environment. What are some final words of encouragement that you could give to someone to help them switch on the light?
Yeah, I would say, first of all, remember that you're carrying the kingdom of God, okay? So it's not so much about where you are, but who you are, okay?
That's great.
And
that's
so
good.
I think that, and then I think I would study, I would get some of the resources that Kingdom Connection offers and stuff to actually understand biblical work, because I think it's honestly going to absolutely switch your thinking. It's going to help you understand. It's going to help you behave differently and think differently, okay? And then as a last encouragement, I want to say this, okay? I think we both agree and we've kind of laid the framework that work is a spiritual act.
Absolutely.
It's not just a physical act of manual labor or whatever it may be, or a mental. It's a spiritual act, okay? Now, here's a really important thing for us to take away is that your work is not just for here on earth, but it work is eternal. See, we just think, hey, get me out of Dodge kind of thing, you know, beam me up, Scotty kind of thing, right? No. Work is eternal. And so in 1 Corinthians, okay, there's a work in the New Testament a word that's used in the New Testament called ergon. So when you read work 176 times in the New Testament called ergon, ergonomics, E-R-G-O-N, it's where we get the ergonomics, the manual way that we work, right? That word ergon in the New Testament means occupation, job, business. So in 1 Corinthians 3, it's kind of what we generally think of as the judgment seat of Christ. It's when we give account for all of our works. And he's talking to believers here because he says that, you know, he's saying to believers, it says, if any man's work shall be burned, it shall suffer loss, but yet himself shall be saved. So he's talking to believers. And it says, every man's work, which is that word ergon, which means every man's business, every man's vocation, anything you do with hand, art, or mind, that's what that means, shall be made manifest, okay? And then it says, every man's work will be also judged for what sort it is. That means the value and how you did your work. So don't be fooled. We're going to be, I don't care if you are digging ditches or you're actually doing business or you're doing medicine, we're going to give account of that to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so one last scripture that's where we're used ergon, and it's in Matthew 5:17. It says, let your light so shine before men that they see your what? Your good works, and they glorify your Father in heaven. Guess what that word good works is? It's not just soup kitchen and going to short-term missions. It means your vocation, your occupation.
That's incredible.
What you are actually doing.
That's great. Well, Doug, where can somebody get their hands on your resources?
Kingdom Connection is actually going to have a work as worship toolkit.
Fantastic.
So that's going to be awesome. They can also visit worklife.org if they need more information from me or need to contact me. But yeah, it's going to be an exciting time, man, because I feel like we are opening a door to help people be who God called them to be on Mondays.
That's fantastic. Well, Doug, I can't thank you enough for your time today. I hope that everyone has been encouraged by this incredible word that's been shared about how work is worship, mm-hmm. how God has created us to work. And we can't thank you enough for your time
yes.
and for your words of encouragement today. Yeah.
Thank you, Blake. Thanks.
Thanks for listening to this edition of Kingdom Connection. We hope this has been a blessing in your life, and we'll share this and other great resources with your friends. Visit JensenFranklin.org for new teachings and free podcasts, videos, and blogs. And be sure to connect with us via Twitter @Jensen or Facebook @JensenFranklin. Thanks for listening to the Kingdom Connection Podcast, and have a great week.